For our next speaker tonight, we have Marty Latondres from Querétaro, Mexico.
Good evening. Tonight I would like to talk to the women. I had my chance with the children, now it's the women. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2, let's look at it, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So it tells us that women professing godliness should be adorned with good works. Now, there's nothing wrong with having the gold or the, you know, the costly apparel and all that, but that shouldn't be the focus. That shouldn't be the important thing. The important thing is the good works, okay? And so I would like for us to talk about some good works for women. And first, I would like to divide women into two groups. The aged, you know, those of us that are about ready to die. and the young, okay? The aged women have a responsibility to teach the young women, you know? And these two groups, the aged and the young, can further be divided in single, married, and widows. So each of us have a different role, a different role to play in this scheme that the Lord has for us. The single women in 1 Corinthians 7:34. Let's take a look at that. It says, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And there's nothing wrong with either one of those, you know. But okay, the single woman says that we have an advantage here, that we care for the things of the Lord. I would like to ask the single women if they are caring for the things of the world. Because this is our paper, you know. This is our role. This is our newspaper. This is our role to be playing. In Acts 21:9, talks about Philip having four daughters, you know, and these daughters did prophesy. And Exodus 15 talks about Miriam, and we're never told that she ever got married or anything, so I'm assuming she's single, and she led the women in praise. Amen. So these are two examples of single women. And Luke 10 talks about Mary and Martha, and doesn't talk about husbands for either one of them either. And Mary was, you know, cumbered about with serving, but she was serving. And Martha was serving, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And remember that Jesus said that she chose the best part. So those of us that are single, we should be at the feet of Jesus, you know, and we should be prophesying. Now, what exactly that means, you know, I'm not real sure, but prophesying how we look at it, from how I understand it, prophesying is preaching. Women can preach, but not teaching or usurping authority over men. So we can preach, but we don't preach in the streets, because that would be over men, you know, and that would be a bad testimony, because it's real hard to have a meek and quiet spirit when you're telling men they're going to hell, you know? and so that's something that's sort of outside of our realm. The married women. Now, this is the calling for most women. And this is the calling that the women have their mission field right there at home. I mean, right there at home. They have their husbands to take care of, to encourage, to be behind, you know, to meet their needs. And we have examples of that too. We have Priscilla. She worked with her husband, expounding the way of God more perfectly to Apollos.
Right.
And we also have example where in Romans 16:3, she and her husband were recognized as helpers with Paul. You know? So, I mean, they were a team. You know? They were a team. Her husband didn't have to be alone. He had a team, a worker. And that's her job, of course. She's a helpmeet. You know? Now, most married women also have children, eventually. And, of course, that's a mission field in itself. Yeah. She has a lot of responsibility there, teaching her children. Not only teaching to walk and talk and, you know, the normal mom stuff, but also values, attitudes, the Word of God, her attitudes about service, her attitude about evangelizing, you know. All this, just not just by what she's saying, but how she's following her husband, how she's helping her husband. Those kids are watching. Those kids are learning from example. And so the married women really have a mission field right there at home. But that doesn't mean that she has to stay right there at home. Lydia, you know, she was out at a prayer meeting, you know, and got saved and invited Paul and his company to come home with her, and her household was saved and baptized. Okay? And also she attended to them, you know. So hospitality is real important. The Proverbs 14:1 has some good advice for the woman. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands.
Amen.
Now I have a question for the married woman. Are you plucking your house down, or are you building it up?
Amen.
You know? Widows. That's what 1 Timothy 5:5 says for the widows. I think it's talking about widows indeed. But why don't we use it for widows? Just plain widows. Widows. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and praying night and day.
Amen.
Okay, so the widow also has an advantage, doesn't she? She can be having this relationship with the Lord. She doesn't have these other responsibilities with her husband and with her children, you know. Well, some widows, I guess, have their children still. But she doesn't have the responsibility to be caring for her husband at this time. So she can be praying. She can be attending these other things, trusting God. We have an example of a widow who continued in prayer, always. And that was Anna. And Lucas, my English and Spanish is missing. Luke 2, 36 and 37 talks about Anna and how she was continuously praying and fasting. Now isn't that a pleasant way to serve the Lord? Paul mentions women who labored with him in the gospel. Paul names other women who labor in the Lord.
Amen.
So women do have ministries.
Amen.
Women do have ministries. And the precaution, which I mentioned already once, but I'd like to mention again, because I don't want anybody to think that that I believe that women should preach over men, or that we're the same, because we're not. The Lord has different roles for women and for men. The men are in charge. And that to me was real hard. I need to confess that. That to me was real hard. From the very beginning, Roland was talking about times when the Lord shows you things in the Word, you know, and you just cry about it. And, you know, I don't like this, nothing. That was how I was when I came here. And I thought maybe the brothers, it was Brother Lindell that was preaching, you can imagine. And he was preaching about women, you know, being submissive and all that. Well, I went home and I just cried about it, you know, to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if they're just taking verses out and if they're just trying to make it convenient for them, show me. I want to know the truth. Well, he showed me. And so that took care of that, right? So, and there at the mission field, you know, with Michael and Adrian, it was hard for me too because I'm part of the mission team, and yet the decisions are made by the men. Sometimes they consider what they consider. They don't. That means that they listen, you know, but it doesn't change anything. But, You know, and that would frustrate me. At first, I was so frustrated, and I would just feel like I was being cheated, you know. But I started praying. I started praying for them, you know, that the Lord would guide them. Really. I started praying that the Lord would guide and direct them, and then would give them wisdom in any decisions that included me especially. And you know what? He touched my heart too. He touched my heart that I have peace. I have peace to do what these guys decide because I know the Lord's guiding them and directing them. And I know that Terry, I have something I'd like to tell you what she said, which to me, being a from the mouth of a married woman, as somebody so stern sometimes as Michael is, no. And she said, I just pray and I tell Michael, please Michael, just be sure that you know that this is God's will. And to me, that's the whole answer. You know, we as women, Christian women, we do want to do the Lord's will. Just sometimes we don't have the discernment that we need, the ability to decide, you know, and, well, the woman was deceived, and the man wasn't. And so we just have the role, you know, that is under the, we are not to usurp authority. And for this reason, and for cultural reasons, we do not street preach. But we are able to be active in the open meeting. Amen. And we say, some women who are not active in the open meetings say it's because they want to be submissive, you know, that it's not being submissive. Well, that's false. Because if the men are telling us to share, that it's all of our responsibility to share, to stand up, to participate, then we are being rebellious when we do not. We need to take this as part of our ministry to edify the body. Our prayer life. We can be active in a prayer life with the Lord. And this is a ministry that we'll never know until we're in glory. We'll never know how effective our prayer life really was, you know. We can witness. We can door knock. We can pass tracts. Now, if you happen to have a husband that doesn't want you leaving your home, that doesn't want you knocking on doors, that doesn't want you passing tracts, he's probably not Christian, number one. But if he is, but if he is, and he does not want you doing these things, pray about it. Pray about it, that the Lord touch his heart, and also that you do what you can do, you know? And, of course, the women can teach children, can teach other women, can sing praises. You know, we all can have a part in this ministry. And, of course, ladies, if you're serving the Lord, well, praise the Lord. But if you're not, I encourage you to start today.
Amen.